This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is a Chicago First podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists and industry, and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
All right, Haima Black, live from the Virgin Hotel. We are on the first floor tonight. Usually we're on the second floor, but man, there's a huge party going on up there. First floor of Virgin Hotel. Shout out Virgin Hotel for hosting us here tonight. We've been here almost a year, which is pretty awesome. Actually, a year next month, so shout out Virgin. We're here tonight with an incredible lineup of guests. We're going to be talking to Justin Kaufman from WGN Radio and Lior Galil from the Chicago Reader. But first, a first-timer on the podcast, Jesse Rohde. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for coming up.
Thank you for having me, and happy almost one-year anniversary at the Virgin.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You can have the party upstairs next time.
Yeah.
We'll all come out.
We had a party when we first started doing this, so yeah, I think we're going to have to do that. So you're somebody who, like, we were talking before the mics were on about how, like, Chicago Twitter is very small. I always see you posting really cool stuff about great articles you're posting, but something I learned about you from Twitter before, like, in addition to all the great work you do, is that you're from Bridgeport, which is where I used to live as well. So shout out Bridgeport.
I am. My whole family, both sides of my family, a lot of them still live there. Everyone is very proud.
Okay. So you got, like, that Bridgeport pride.
There's a photo of my grandpa
pride.
And his bowling team inside of, like, the Rickabennies. It's a thing.
Yeah, that's as Bridgeport as it gets.
It really is.
That's awesome. But you are somebody who, you do a lot of really great music journalism work. You're writing for the Chicago Tribune, in addition to a couple of other outlets. I know you've written for Illinois Entertainer, which I also write for.
Yeah, everyone at Illinois Entertainer was always great.
Yeah,
always
so they're
supportive.
The best.
Shout out John and Kurt.
They're very easy to work with. I've been writing for Illinois Entertainer for, like, as long as I've been alive, basically, and they're just good guys. But I always kind of start this out, like, just asking, like, how did this all start for you? Like, how did the music journalism thing happen? How did this media work happen? Like, where did this begin for you?
I've known that I wanted to write about music in some way since I was 11. I saw Almost Famous, and I was like, oh, I could totally do that. Everything else seems really boring. So I would write my own, like, mini reviews inside of a diary, where I would also talk about, like, playing hooky from school. So it'd be like me trying to get out of school, and then there'd be, like, an NSYNC album review underneath it, and it was wonderful.
That just sounds like an incredible, like, A24 teen.
It was literally me, like, reading, like, teen bop, like, surrounded by my boy band posters, just writing about why I thought they were good and why I thought they were important. Because no one else, like, was writing about that in, like, a seriously critical way.
Sure.
At least no one who was, like, 8 years old. My viewpoint was not represented. Then I just started blogging, and I reached out to Greg Kot after I had graduated on Twitter. I sent him a DM and asked him if he had an internship. We went to lunch. He told me I was beyond being an intern, and he would help me find a job. And then 3 years later, I ended up at the Trib.
Did he say incendiary?
He did not.
Okay.
The only person I have seen use that since I've been at the Trib is my editor, Kevin, and it was in a tweet at Pitchfork, and I forgot who was it was about. It was probably about PJ Harvey.
I'm incendiary, too. Come back. Yeah.
I want to use that word all the time, and then I'm like, I have to save it for the right moment.
You really do. It's like, it really is kind of a special occasion.
It really is.
But that's incredible, like, going out to lunch with Greg Kot and kind of getting your start with that, because obviously, Greg Kot, somebody who's been doing this for a long time in Chicago, and he's really kind of a legend in the journalism game here.
Yeah, I used to send him, not like hate mail, but responses that were dissenting opinions on things he would write. Like, one of the first ones I wrote was about the Strokes after their Aragon Ballroom show at the Room on, like, during the Room on Fire tour. And I just, like, kept it rolling from that. But it was great. He was really supportive. I saw him at Lollapalooza, and he told me I was doing a good job. So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, I mean, it sounds like you grew up in Chicago. It's like, if you remember in the 90s, it's like you would grow up and, you know, you'd read, like, Dero and Kot. Like, that was what there was in the 90s. Like, Tribune or, you know, I was, like, too young for the Reader, you know, like,
yeah,
there was Dero and Kot, and that was where you got your information about Filter or the Smashing Pumpkins. Like, those guys have been doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I always care. I would send things to Greg. I would email him, like, live shows, live show reviews. I saw Robert Plant at the Riv, and I emailed Greg this review, and he sent it back to me, and it was just like covered in notes about like everything that I had done right, and then everything else that I had done wrong. And he would tell me that like I wrote like a press agent, and I needed to stop kissing like Robert Plant's butt. And I was like, okay, great. But it was all like, it's fantastic criticism. I love that stuff.
Especially coming from someone like that. I mean, yeah. That's incredibly Almost Famous though. Like what you're describing is so Almost Famous.
It did feel, even in a professional sense, I like go deep. I like force people to keep engaging with me in conversation. Because I just want to like, I want to pick their brains as much as I can. And luckily I've been allowed to do that with everyone I've gotten to work with here.
So was the Trib the first journalism gig, like the first real one?
Yeah, the Trib was like the first paid.
Yeah.
My parents finally thought I could make some type of money doing this after school.
How old were you at that point?
I was 24.
Okay.
When I got to the Trib.
Yeah, so that's still a really young age to get to the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, I always have to remind myself of that because I started writing about stuff when I was 9, but I started blogging a lot and kind of taking side gigs and like online gigs to try to build myself up when I was like 15.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've been doing it for a really long time. And then everyone's like, dude, you just turned 25. Like you can calm down. It's fine.
Yeah. But you know what? It's something I see a lot on this podcast and talking to people is like a lot of younger, and I don't mean that in a dismissive way, but like, yeah, you know, let's say like under 28, a lot of younger talent, the ones who are really ambitious are the ones who are like, oh man, I'm so far behind.
Yeah.
Even if they're starting at like 19, they're like, oh, I wasted all this time. And you're like, no, you're starting really young.
Yeah, no, like no one's satisfied. And I think that's something, I mean, I've never lived anywhere else, but I think that's something that a lot of creative people coming up right now in Chicago really pride themselves on.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever, even if to everyone else they look like they've made it or they've reached that point, I don't think anyone really feels that way. And I think everyone knows that like there's always more work to be done and they can always improve themselves in some way. And I think that's great. If I am a part of that in any way, I'm like very grateful for it.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of that, cause I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, I think a lot of it is the fact that there's so many people doing so much great work right now that it's like, at least for me, just speaking for myself, you don't want to get left behind. You don't want to be the one who's not putting in the work when everybody else is firing on all cylinders. Again, at least that's how I view a lot of what's happening.
Yeah,
right now.
No, I feel that all the time. I was actually talking, I haven't written anything really since Lollapalooza, and I was like, I went for a walk on Friday during work for like an hour, and I just like tried to think of pitches, like jotting them down, because you do feel like everyone is like always setting a new standard, which is really exciting, but it's also
but it's
sometimes
also
you just want to like vegetate on the couch and watch Real Housewives for 2 hours, like I want to, but that's not always.
Yeah, I took this weekend to, like, unplug, well, comparably unplug to watch BoJack Horseman. But there was a part of my mind where I was like, oh, it's so bleak. It's the bleakest, darkest.
I have to get into BoJack Horseman.
If you're like me and you love bleak, if that's like a way to like sell you, oh, it's the bleakest thing.
Okay.
It's the bleakest thing. He makes his mom cry in episode 6 of the new season, and it is just so dark. And I watched that episode twice, and I was like, this is incredible. He wakes up in episode 6 just... all you hear through the whole episode is his internal monologue, and it starts off with, wake up, you stupid piece of shit. You're such a worthless piece of shit. What the fuck is wrong with you? I mean, it's amazing. So anyway, BoJack Horseman is great, but...
It's on Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
That's, yeah.
I'll get my sister's password.
Oh, man. But I get where you're coming from. We're like, it can be daunting with everything that's happening. So, like, when you're coming up with pitches, because I know that's challenging, like... Where do you draw that from, or like, what kind of pitches do you like to send out, or I don't know, how do you view that?
I mean, in my position at the Tribune, I'm not really, I don't get to do as much critical work, so it always has to come back to be impacting some like local level of either like specifically talking about the artists or the producers coming up with this work or how it's impacting like different communities or societies as a whole, which is the type of writing I like to do anyway. So if there's like a subgroup of, if there's like a larger movement happening, but there's a really powerful subgroup in Chicago that are making, whether it's like ASL interpreters or people that are opening up, like their homes are creating other safe spaces for marginalized communities. I think it's always important to use like your platform for good. Good, I guess people can define in their own ways. My version of good is
people. Yeah.
Supporting the folks that need this type of support. So if I can always continue to give that to them, but also like make it interesting and fun because it is it's an art and it's an entertainment article, right. Then that's what I hope to keep doing.
Well, I mean,
along with like live show reviews.
Right. One of the big articles that you had recently was the ASL article that was connecting like the ASL interpreter community to the music community. And that's something I see a lot because I teach at Columbia. In Columbia College, people might not know this because it's first and foremost thought of as like, you know, it's the art school.
Yeah.
Like, it's where you go if you want to be like a DJ or whatever. But they have a huge ASL community and division and department. That's what I'm getting at Columbia. So I do see a lot of those students, and I have friends who've been in that program, and it's really worthwhile, like, telling that kind of story. Like, was that your idea, or...?
One of my coworkers, actually, Nina Metz, she writes about TV. She emailed me a video of Amber Galloway Gallego signing for Waka Flocka.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was at Austin City Limits. And the way that he kind of like walked over to her on the platform and really made her like a really valued part of what he was trying to convey and like share with his fan base. In that video was really special, and the only festival that I had really seen that at happening in Chicago to that point was at Lollapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to talk to Amber and Matt Maxey, who does Definitely Dope, who was touring with Chance after Bonnaroo, that even people in like the hard of hearing community or the deaf community, they kind of like internalize this, that like live music is just a hearing experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the way that artists really want to expand that, especially now, like they want everyone to feel included. They want everyone to
Absolutely.
Feel safe. So having the access to that was really important. And I wanted to highlight that at Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza kind of, I mean, I have my own issues with Lollapalooza as a whole, but it does foster for those 4 days a sense of community that I think is really inclusive.
Yeah.
And it's important to keep that in the forefront of your mind, even when you're being asked to pay like $27 for a bottle of wine and a water bottle.
Right.
They do give back, which is great. And they have these people there.
So that was an article that I feel like got a really strong response. Was that the case?
Yeah, it did really well, which was exciting. I was proud of it.
So when you have something like that works, like kind of what happens from that? Does that allow you to like kind of pitch bigger stories, or is it something where like, oh man, like people are putting their eyes on me now, like this is my chance to do X?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely kind of challenges me to always want to keep the focus on folks that the focus doesn't usually find.
Right.
So I do always keep that in my mind. But as far as, like, I have a really supportive team at work that will definitely encourage me to keep doing those stories. I do kind of miss writing with a more musical focus.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that'll come in time. But as long as I keep saying, like, using the forces of good, but I feel like it's because I was watching, like, Sabrina the Teenage Witch and, like, Halloween Town on YouTube, and it's just, like, in my mind.
But it does sound like you're pursuing an altruistic viewpoint mission with your work.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, definitely being, like, when you're at a newspaper like the Tribune, the arts and entertainment section, if that's kind of your vein, You're not like the hard news person, so no one in the newsroom is like often coming up to you and being like, "Oh my God, you broke that! That was like life changing." Yeah, you know, like it's a very separate experience, and I think that there are plenty of people in the world who don't want that in their entertainment writing, which I think is a bummer, and I don't think that that's a privilege that we can kind of like just keep letting slide. Like,
right.
I think it's important to challenge that. So I don't really care.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep doing it.
You're doing
sure,
what you're doing.
That's my thing.
Yeah. Now, you know, Chicago's media community, and it's interesting tonight, like this was not planned. The way that I book this podcast a lot of times is I will email maybe like 20 guests that I want to have come on. And I'll say like, hey, here's three or four Sundays that are available. Which one works for you?
Yeah.
And tonight just happened to be three media figures from the city, yourself included. So it's going to be interesting to talk a lot about media tonight. But
there's a lot of changes happening.
There's a lot of changes.
Media, yeah.
So like, how does that impact you as a freelancer, as a professional, as a writer, like as a creative? Like, how do you view that? Because it can be challenging, I would imagine, and probably pretty intimidating or frustrating to see some of the changes or kind of diminishing opportunities that might be happening.
Yeah, it's hard. I was at the Tribune for like 2 weeks when they sold the tower, and I remember taking out my headphones and being like, so do we all still have jobs? Like, really right. Not understanding. It's so complicated. There are so many connected parts, and half of the time you like don't even want to use your brain to think about it because it's just like daunting trying to figure out kind of where you stand in all of these interconnected agencies and offices. So as long as my like key card works every morning when I walk in, I really don't want to don't want to spend that much time stressing out about it. But yeah, I mean, you worry. I definitely pay more attention than I used to. I think you have to. I think that's also kind of part of being an adult and having your kind of first career.
Sure. Do you see like, I guess for yourself, do you see yourself hitting a point where like maybe you'll go off and kind of like do more your own thing? Because like, okay, for me, I came from radio and radio was incredible and I love radio. And Justin and I are going to talk about this, but there was that sense of like, is my key card going to work this week?
Yeah.
And that was what it was like for 13 years. And I wasn't even the guy who got paid enough to be on the chopping block, but like,
right.
It was just that feeling of like, anything can happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like if I showed up and they were like, dogs bought the radio station, I'd be like, all right, I'll go with that, you know?
Yeah, you literally, there.
Just like, sure.
There are so many times where you hear things and you just have to be like, okay, like
right.
I can deal with that. I don't think, I mean, yeah, I think about going elsewhere eventually? Sure. I would like to one day get out of Chicago just as a whole since I've lived here my whole life. But
yeah.
The weird thing now, I think there are kind of slim pickings for media and journalism jobs. And I don't necessarily have the courage to kind of just like leave it all behind and like pick
or
up and
I'm not like suggesting that. I don't want this to sound
I know, I totally
for your choices or anything at all. Because I relate to that feeling. Like I know what that feeling's like.
Oh yeah,
I'm
like the biweekly paycheck person. Like
right.
I freak out. But yeah, I mean I think the most important thing is like if you really believe in what you're doing and you really believe in your work and you believe in your work enough to kind of pick up and know that you can make it somewhere else, do it.
Yeah.
But just know that the pool has shrunk.
Well, I mean,
for worse. But I do also hold hope that it'll get better.
I do too. I'm right there with
you.
Like, and
I really
and
do.
To
we
your
have
credit,
to.
Your work is really good. And I'm not just saying that. It's like your work
Thank
is
you.
Good, so you have that going for you. You know, when I was,
Thanks.
I see what you post, but I always do the research when I'm going to talk to someone for the podcast. So I was like, I was going through your byline on the Trib and like, you've got all your articles organized there. And I was like, damn, there's a lot here.
Yeah.
You know, you have
you
a
get
couple
to cover
pages
a lot of
worth
stuff.
Of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
What are you excited about happening in Chicago culture, music, media? Like, you know, what's exciting for you in the city right now on a personal or like professional appreciation level?
I mean, maybe the most like timely thing is Riot Fest.
Yeah. That's
I'm really
up.
Excited. I already like made my schedule and I'm really excited to see the Voluptuous Horror of Karen Black.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea who they were and I saw them listed and I just Googled, and the first Google image that came up, I was like, I'm down.
Because it's such an awesome name.
It's such an awesome name. The backstory of how they came up with it, Karen Black was like this cult film actress. And it's just awesome. And it's just like this weird, like late 80s, early 90s, like LA horror punk. It's like super
I love
exciting.
That.
Bad Brains. I've never seen Bad Brains before. I'm so excited. Nine Inch Nails is going to be great. Queens of the Stone Age, even though I really don't like their new album that much, is going to be
We were just talking
great.
About that. Me and Leo really, are like...
I just feel like if you're a proud rock band, like when you turn to Mark Ronson for your rock album, it's like, do you know?
Well, we were just talking about like when Leo got
Mark
here.
Mark Ronson's music?
I know. We were like... It is the correct thing that they kicked Nick Oliveri out of the band.
Yeah.
That's the right thing to do.
Right.
But it sucks that they're not as good without Nick Oliveri.
It's
something I'm not like, defending him. I'm not saying he should be back in the band. But they were a better band with him. And it is also simultaneously the correct choice to kick him out.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I feel like a lot of bands face that.
Yeah. And it's tough.
Eventually. Yeah.
But I'm still going to watch them. Because I'm like, I'm still on board. But like, yeah, I miss those songs of the Deaf Days, Rated R. All the old
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I just want, I mean, I just miss, and I know it's, like, so cliche, especially if you follow me on Twitter, like, I just miss, like, rock, and I don't even really know what rock is anymore, but, like, I want it to be it's really like, loud, I want it to be really in your face, I also want it to, like, mean something.
I want it to
and
be kind of mean.
Yeah,
rock
I want
Rock is
it,
so polite now.
It is.
And it's
like,
I hate
the Green
that.
Day, I went and saw Green Day. Green Day, like, you know, shaped my, like, very early formative political punk years. And I was like, we're not even getting F-bombs from Green Day anymore. Like,
yeah, when I saw Green
where
Day at
are
Lollapalooza
we going?
A few years ago.
We're getting more
ago.
F-bombs from, like, the 5 Seconds of Summer kids.
I know.
Who are, like, technically a boy band.
It's really weird. It's,
so it's
wild. Yeah, I feel like that's a whole article you could do, like, just, like, when did rock get so polite and so sanitized?
I think I will be touching upon this, and we had a very... lively discussion about boy bands the other day that literally consumed half of the office.
Yeah.
So we may touch upon that.
Well, I mean,
in
it,
that article,
it's like it's these two extremes where like now everything's either really polite or like when I was working in radio, everything was just this like butt rock, where it's like all like Puddle of Mud and Stained and like
Puddle of Mud.
3 Days Grace
and like
Oh
Fuel.
My God and Fuel and just like. And I was like, wow, I guess I hate music now.
That's literally how I feel. I'm trying to think. Like, I'm a fan of The National. And, like,
right.
Their new album is a great national album. But, like, are there plenty of times where I was listening to it and I got bored? Sure.
Yeah.
Would I consider that a rock album?
Mm? No. It's very boring right now. So what's coming up for you? You know, like, Riot Fest obviously coming up. But, like, what's next on deck? Are there any articles you want to tease or, like, anything you're excited about coming up?
I think I have to talk about some of these with my editor, but I pitched, some ideas about street performers and more street performers just kind of like going rogue and plugging in, and why they kind of still take it to the street as opposed to just like being online and cultivating this online presence and, just like going straight to SoundCloud or going straight to Bandcamp and taking that kind of route.
You're talking about like a lot of the artists who are like busking right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, talk to Sylvie Grace if you do that
Sylvie
feature.
Grace.
Sylvie Grace, she's a cellist, super cool, and she's been playing out in front of like the Apple Store and those kind of places for years.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, she's a great talent.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. But that's really exciting. The boy band article, I'll probably gush in it a little bit, but it'll get cut out, so I'm not really worried. And I really want to do a more in-depth piece about like the how different music communities in the city are policed. That'll be like my adult journalist.
That's to
mission.
Me sounds like a great topic. That
but yeah,
a lot
especially
of people
here.
To.
So we'll
yeah.
see.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
You know, final question, because this is great, and I want to continue this conversation, get you on a panel or something like that. A lot of times these interviews are just kind of like the start of, like, we bring so many people back who do these Sunday night interviews to be, like, on panels and things like that to kind of, like, get a larger discussion going. But final question for tonight, at least, is, you know, for anybody who's younger, for anybody who's looking at what you're doing, it's like, man, I want to write for the Trib, or like, I want to be a music journalist, or
yeah.
I want to cover this kind of stuff. Like, what advice do you have for them?
Never be afraid to reach out to anyone.
Yeah.
Even if you think like it's weird to send a DM or you've never spoken to this person ever and you want to send them an email, just do it.
Right.
I think especially right now, the majority of people that at least that I know and that whose work and what they're doing I really respect. Everyone is always looking to help someone out, especially younger kids in the city that want to get involved in something that would be, like, totally new to them.
Right.
I think Chicago is a great city to get started doing that in. People can always feel free to email me. I didn't know how many people I knew until, like, recently. You start, like, noticing how many people you know in, like, right. social functions, which is really awesome. But don't be afraid to stick with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tweet away. Mm-hmm. Just go straight to just everyone tweet.
Everyone's accessible on Twitter.
Everyone really is accessible on Twitter.
It's crazy. You can see, like, Kim Kardashian or, like, Rihanna tweet back at people.
Oh, my God. Rihanna... She quote tweeted someone today that was working at a Puma of people looking for her beauty line, and then the tweet like blew up.
Of course.
And the kid's like viral now. That could happen to you.
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't make the rules.
No, I know. It's all those walls have like, I feel like, been broken down to such a degree.
Yeah, I really don't consider Chicago to have many like gatekeepers. So everyone is really accessible, even people that you might think are kind of like beyond that.
Right.
I don't think anyone really has the luxury or wants to be like that here. So just stick with it. Don't let anyone ever discourage you. It'll take a while. Like,
right.
If it takes you 3 years, it takes you 3 years. It took me 3 years.
Which isn't
but
even
just
like
stick
that
with
long.
It. It's not. You know? You have to just take it day by day. Reach out to as many people as you can. Be nice to everyone. You never know who knows who.
Right.
Because it is
going.
A really small community, but yeah,
it's a very
just keep
small
going.
Town. Yeah,
yeah,
that's awesome, man. Jesse Rohde, writing for the Chicago Tribune. People can follow you on Twitter. What's the Twitter handle?
Twitter handle is Jesse Taylor Rojessi, no E.
Yeah,
and not just an E, like Uncle Jesse in Full right. House, just an I.
Right on. In the Trib on Twitter, you're out here. Reach out to you. That's awesome.
Definitely.
I'm so glad we got to talk to you
thank
tonight.
Thank you so much
for
having
out.
Me.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Feel free to hang out.
I think I'm going to.
Sweet.
Sunday night in the city.
Yeah, man.
Woo!
Absolutely.
No more Game of Thrones.
Cool. And we'll have to go get some tacos in Bridgeport at Martinez soon.
Yes.
Because that place is that, the shit.
If we planned like a Bridgeport taco crawl, that
oh
like the
God.
People would come.
I would come.
I okay,
I'd be so
I feel
about
like
that.
This needs to be planned, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, Bridgeport taco crawl. Coming soon.
TK7. TK17, rather.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Cool, thanks.
Sweet.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcast. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.